You are listening to Sheep Might Fly, a podcast of serialized fiction written and read by Tansy Rayner Roberts. I'll be reading the epilogue from Curse of Bronze to finish up the... I'm not quite sure what the phrasing is. I'm going to go with modern gas lamp fantasy novella. I will be working on the sequel later this year. It's on my list. It's been on my list for a couple of years, but I have actually started work. I'm quite excited to write Tomb of Brass, the tale of our Tomb Raiders. And the next one in what I would actually like to be a series. I know I have too many series on the boil, but I do love this world. I want to return to it. Before I continue, I want to say that next week, as a little break before we move on to our next original fiction serial, I'm going to be doing something a little bit different. I've enjoyed doing the Ask Tansy posts. I may do more in the future. But I've been thinking for a while about doing something with history essays, like really short, punchy, entertaining history essays, which is something that I love, on very tight themes. And as it happens, there's one neglected question which was asked to me in one of the Ask Tansy posts. And at the time, I think it came in like either a little bit too late. I need to do a bit of research. So I put it off for next time. It's actually going to be the theme of my first essay. So next week, you can come back for a hot cup of history on the subject of ancient Rome and Saturnalia. I know it's not quite the right time of year, but if I waited around for things to happen at the right time of year, I'd never do anything. That's the reason that my half-written Christmas fantasy novel continues to be half-written, because I only ever want to work on it in October to December. It's very inconvenient. Anyway, so come back next week for Hot Cup of History. The week after, I will be starting a new fiction serial, which I've been describing to everybody as Jane Austen and Dragons. But I'm actually so delighted with the premise of the book. But I don't really want to tell people what it is. Obviously, I've told some people because I can't keep it in. But I kind of want you to find it out for yourself. And I'm looking forward to hearing feedback as people realise which Jane Austen it is and who my main character is. But I've had this one churning in my head for a long time. I'm excited to be doing it. And it seems to be at a time where there's a lot of Jane Austen and Dragons books happening. But none of them seem to be doing what I'm doing, which is good. So I'm going to get this one out quickly before somebody else nabs my idea. So that's what's happening over the next couple of months. I look forward to sharing these stories with you. But in the meantime, Curse of Bronze. Epilogue. "We can't exactly bury her," said Bella. "Can we?" "Not a lot of point," said Colin morosely. "Not unless we want Tomb Raiders digging her up again in 40 years. Callous creatures, archaeologists." Colin had been moping a lot lately. Bella understood it must be hard for him to be back, to have lost so much time and his known family. Making a decision about the bronzed remains of his sister wasn't exactly a fun way to celebrate his return to the land of the living. She couldn't help wondering how much of the current moping was because a certain Dr. Tag Gardner, with whom Colin had shared constant companionship in their timeless imprisonment, had now been swept off into the bosom of his loving half-werewolf family. Leaving Colin alone in his family home with some niece he'd barely met. They sat together in the kitchen, not really looking at each other. Ironically, this was the only place in the whole house where one could sit without the furniture trying to feed you. "You should take the bronze key," Bella said suddenly, tugging on the ribbon around her neck. "Shouldn't you?" Colin stared at her. "What on earth are you talking about?" the house. You have a better claim to it than I do. You're of the previous generation of Hathaways. I should hand it over to you. The key twitched against her skin, but she ignored it. Oh, no, he said with a flail. I don't want it. The house chose you. And look at everything you've done. Colin's face was earnest and so young. They were the same age, technically, within a year or so. But whenever Bella was around him, she felt the alarming urge to mother him. Charlie was brilliant, Colin went on. But she had 25 years to rescue me, and she didn't get there. You did. Besides, I don't know if you've noticed, but this house is full of talking furniture. A man can't be tied to a house with talking furniture. I'm not a damsel in a storybook. Her eyes narrowed, not sure she liked the implications. So, what will you do? Colin Hathaway took a deep, shaky breath. I am going to have a drink and a bacon sandwich with pickled onions on the side and a long, long bath every day for a week. And then I'm going to plan my next adventure. Obviously. Alone? Adventures are more fun in teams, I suppose, he mumbled. I say, do we really have a library next door? That's dashed convenient. Used to be some undertaker fellow and his six disturbingly identical sons. Do you think the lion chap will mind if I go poke about? He'd be insulted if you didn't, said Bella, sweetly. Sometime later, Bella finally ventured out into her back garden. There was a lovely patch of greenery, not large, but full of some charming flower beds, and a small greenhouse full of blooming orchids and tomatoes. She had expected it to be overgrown and neglected. Had Aunt Charlotte been a keen gardener? Bella had to keep reminding herself that only a week or so ago, the house was occupied by her aunt, going about her perfectly ordinary life, before she was stopped short by that one terrible curse. Within moments, Bella discovered that the secret to a well-maintained garden was a chattering set of scythes, clippers, and an elderly hand mower, all of which were very excited to meet her. She stuck around for the minimum of polite interaction and then retreated back to the house. Was she developing a nervous twitch? That couldn't be good. Lionel found her in the parlour some time later, glancing over her recent correspondence. In truth, it was Charlotte's correspondence, but the rather heaping pile of letters addressed to Miss Hathaway, 22 Gramercy Street, were hard for Bella to ignore. Lionel made a beeline for the drinks trolley that had hauled itself down out of the attic on the grounds that there was now a man in the house to make use of it. Bella was not currently on speaking terms with the drinks trolley. "Where's your brandy?" he asked. "It all got drunk by an archaeologist," said Bella. "And if the drinks trolley wants me to purchase more, he will have to acknowledge that I exist." "Ah," said Lionel, tactfully. "Tea?" "Always for you, Mr. Hope," said Mrs. Teapot, practically batting the eyelashes she didn't have as she poured him a cup. "Speaking of archaeologists," he went on, settling himself into Maggie and giving her a familiar pat on the arm as he did so. "My library is infested with them." Bella raised her eyebrows. "Plural?" "Oh yes, Mr. Gardner came calling after lunch. He and Hathaway have been shouting out exciting facts about footnotes and ancient treasure maps to each other all afternoon." "Oh, that should cheer Colin up at least." "You can shuffle them both in here if they're a nuisance," said Bella. "Like a pair of rowdy house cats. I'll keep that in mind. I'm sure I used to have a quiet life, but I don't remember what that looked like." Lionel drank deeply of his tea. "How was your day?" "Tense. The police want us to make a decision about Charlotte's body, which is rather awkward. What do? Put her out on the lawn? Build a brass tomb? Donate her to a museum? You do have a spare room upstairs, now you've shipped all those stolen gargoyles off to Apollonia. Bella shivered. I hate the idea of burying her. What if someone breaks the curse someday? Colin came back. Anything is possible. There was nothing Lionel could offer that she and Colin had not awkwardly turned over together. Then there's these. She tapped the pile of letters. Lionel came to see, leaning lightly on the back of her chair. Rather a lot there. They keep coming every day. For Miss Hathaway of Gramercy Street. People with all kinds of terrible otherworldly problems. People who need the best curse breaker in the business. People who need help. I don't know what to do about it. That's easy enough, said Lionel, in his comforting rumble of a voice. You help them. Bella tipped her face up to look at him. How? I'm not a curse breaker. No, you're not. But you are a problem solver, with a talent for magical languages and a library full of archaeologists. These people who need help, they could do much worse. Bella hid a smile, turning around in her chair. I thought it was your library. Lionel spread his hands wide. I've accepted my fate, Miss Hathaway. Isn't it time you accepted yours? The end. Thanks for listening to Sheep Might Fly. This podcast was recorded on Palawa land. I acknowledge and pay respect to the Tasmanian Aboriginal people as the traditional and continuing custodians of Lutruwita, Tasmania. Sheep Might Fly is produced and edited by Andrew Finch. You can sign up to my author newsletter for updates. Follow me on Instagram, Blue Sky, or Threads at TansyRR. And if you like this podcast, consider supporting me at Patreon, where you can receive all kinds of bonus rewards, early ebooks, and exclusive stories for a small monthly pledge. I want to give a shout out for a new anthology that's dropping very soon. It's called Sherlock is a Girl's Name, released by Improbable Press, who are an arm of Clandestine Press. You can buy the books on the website of either publishing house. I believe the Clandestine ones are best for Australian purchasers and Improbable are best for the US, and I guess everybody else can just make a choice. So the premise of the book is retellings, reinventions, stories of Sherlock Holmes in which Sherlock Holmes is a woman. And they take place across different times, different places. And my story, which I'm really fond of, actually connects to Curse of Bronze. It's set in the city of Lyceum. And as you read the story, you'll discover it actually has a very close connection to the Hathaway family. So, I'm excited. This one, the book was a bit delayed. So I actually wrote the story a couple of years ago. I'm really excited people finally get to read it. And if nothing else, search Sherlock is a Girl's Name, Improbable Press, to see pictures of the cover, which is spectacular. I can't remember the artist's name, but basically they have illustrated different versions of the female Sherlock, one for every story, which is such a gorgeous detail and makes the book really special. So yeah, if you like Curse of Bronze and you are a completionist, you may wish to read my story. And now I'm trying to think what it's called. It's A Study in Skulls by me, in the book Sherlock is a Girl's Name. I will see you next week for the very first Hot Cup of History.